Hello, thank you for tuning in to another episode of I Wanna Review. Joining me today on the show is Peter Bithos, CEO of SEEK Asia. We will be discussing the employment outlook in Southeast Asia and key trends shaping the workforce in 2023. He joins me from Australia. It is a pleasure to be speaking with you today, Peter. Thank you so much for making time to do this.
Thank you, Cynthia, and Kong Hei Fat Choy for everybody in Malaysia celebrating Chinese New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you too. I hope the rabbit year is a good one for all of us.
Likewise.
So I do like to start with a few basic questions about SEEK Asia. Can you share with us who SEEK is to the Malaysian audience and its relation to JobStreet?
Yes. Well, Cynthia, I'm sure almost every Malaysian has probably heard of JobStreet in some way, shape, or form. Many Malaysians over the years has probably used JobStreet at some point in their working life. JobStreet in Malaysia has been around. We've been around for 25 years. JobStreet was founded there. SEEK is the corporate parent of JobStreet. SEEK is a large HR tech group, one of the largest in the region. Founded about the same time as JobStreet down in Australia, where I'm actually dialing in from today, although I live in Asia. We've connected about 42 million job seekers and partnered with over a million companies over the last 25 years, ranging from everywhere across New Zealand all the way through to Indonesia, owning brands like JobStreet, JobsDB, and other geographies in Southeast Asia, as well as companies across the world in the HR and tech space. So yeah, that's a little bit about SEEK.
So with that, can I check with you, will JobStreet and JobsDB, the brands, will they remain or will it now fall under SEEK when someone heads onto the webpage to look for, to put a job posting in?
Well, actually already today, if you go onto the JobStreet webpage, you'll see JobStreet by SEEK. So we're trying slowly to educate everybody across Asia of our relationship with JobStreet. We have no plans to currently change the brand at the moment, but we do want to get the word out a little bit more about the fact that we're regional and focused on Asia here in Asia and across the Asia Pacific region. That's what we specialize in, and with people being more mobile and more interested in jobs regionally and remote, having a regional presence is more and more important.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Peter, for giving us an overview of SEEK and also the clarification about JobStreet, JobsDB. So now I want to move on into some of the key developments in the employment workforce space. Of course, one of the major news that happened last year that has stretched into this year is mass layoffs, especially in the US. I mean, if you look at the numbers, first 3 weeks alone of 2023, nearly 50,000 workers in tech companies have been laid off. What's driving this? And if you can give us a sense of, is this also happening in Southeast Asia particularly?
Yes. So first of all, if there are any Malaysians out there affected by any of those layoffs, our thoughts are with you. You have great opportunities, as I'll talk to in just a minute. So fear not. The short answer is, what's driving it? In tech, what had happened, and we see this largely in the pure tech companies, what had happened is during COVID, many of us turned to digital technologies, be it e-commerce or say movie TV streaming for entertainment or various other digital platforms to help our lives get through the COVID period. During that time, many tech companies overinvested and overhired for growth they thought would continue forever. That has not happened as we've come out or coming out of the pandemic. And most tech companies now are finding they hired too fast, they invested too much, and are right-sizing it. And that is happening across the region as well. And so we see tech companies, the large decacorns that are established in Southeast Asia, people like Grab or Gojek or others, taking the opportunity and right-sizing as well. So it is happening across the region.
All right. So this is more of a correction than not a popping of a bubble like the dot-com crash we saw in 2001.
Yeah, I think the longer arch of tech, and we might talk about this a bit later if you want. You know, if you work in tech, first thing is you're in a good space in general, if you have digital skills. Mm-hmm. Over the arc of in Malaysia over 10, 15, 20 years, we've seen steady, consistent growth with a couple of blips along the major crises, the GFC, now the recent correction. But longer term, the demand for digital skills is very, very high in Malaysia. And in fact, there are more jobs on the platform now in tech and digital than we estimate have been layoffs in Malaysia in the space. Right. So tech jobs in Malaysia are up about 50% year on year. And so if you've been affected, the good news is there's great opportunities for you and your skills.
Can you talk about this jobs for tech that are on the platform and what kind of skills and what are there particular industries that are ramping up hiring during this time?
Yes. So first of all, you can think always about a labor market in Malaysia as set of skills or functions and set of industries, right? And when we look at labor markets, we always look at the cross section between the two or the overlap. What we see, firstly, from a digital skills perspective, is continued strong and very large, robust growth. Now, it may not be in pure play tech companies, but maybe a Malaysian bank, maybe a Malaysian hotel chain has a need for digital skills and is having a hard time finding talent. So if you have those skills, there are great opportunities, perhaps in other sectors at the moment for your particular skills. And so that's why we've seen Malaysia tech jobs up about 55% year on year. The industries, the sectors, if you will, that we see very strong is in addition to some tech companies still hiring, like us, for example, spaces that are post-pandemic opening up: travel, leisure, services, hospitality, food and beverage. Those are spaces that are hiring dramatically this year and are really, really struggling to find talent.
Yeah, I think I've had a discussion prior about tech talent shortage facing Malaysian companies. And looking at what's happening then in the US with all the mass layoffs, do you think there will be maybe talents being absorbed into Asia, seeing now that we are more open to working remotely?
Yeah, that is definitely, Cynthia, a big trend. So for example, there's been a number of estimates. Longer term trends say that tech in Malaysia and the need for tech skills, digital skills, will grow at 8% year over year. And that by Roland Berger estimates that by the year 2030 in Malaysia alone, there might be 3 million roles that can't be filled, right? So and that's happening not just in Malaysia, but we see it happening across the region and in fact, across the globe. As a result, every Malaysian that has those sort of skills is in a great position not only to look at companies within Malaysia in the longer term, but also look at companies working remotely for companies all over the region and in fact, globally. So if you are affected in that space or you have friends or family affected in that space due to the latest wave, I would take heart. The longer term trends are very, very strong.
All right. So you mentioned skills. Skills certainly is becoming the currency of the workplace now. Where then do you see are the growth sectors that Malaysian workers should start developing their skills in?
Yeah. So I think, you know, if you start from the hirer side and you put yourself there, what we hear from a lot of hirers is because the skills that they need are oftentimes not available, mm-hmm. right? They're going to take what we're encouraging hires to take more and more risks and flexibility, be flexible, hire a younger worker, hire an older worker that may not have the exact skills, but has some of the skills. If you're a talent in Malaysia, what we definitely see is, first of all, as we talked about, the digital skills are by far and away the leading skill in demand over the longer term. That could be digital marketing. It doesn't have to be coding. It could be familiarity with digital platforms for the use of businesses. Obviously, the more technical, the better, like AI and coding, but it doesn't have to be that, which is great news for many Malaysians who want to get into that space. Outside of that space, you know, increasingly service, and also in the longer term, manufacturing as well, as supply chains reconfigure out of China into Southeast Asia, and many are looking at Malaysia as well as Vietnam and Indonesia as logical points for that. So those sort of skills, the manufacturing, the engineering skills, the service skills, and the digital skills, those are the skills that we see on the horizon.
Now, speaking about relocation of manufacturing hubs, SEEK Asia's headquarters is in Kuala Lumpur. So talk to us a bit about that, and why did you decide to set up your Asia base in Kuala Lumpur?
Yeah, so many Malaysians wouldn't know this, and I think people in KL and those in tech in KL should be very proud. We have our regional headquarters there, and all across the Asia region, we operate from Korea all the way through to Bangladesh, and we're very proudly based in KL. We based ourselves in KL for a couple of reasons, and we decided to do that. Firstly, when we started the journey as SEEK, when we acquired JobStreet in 2015. There was already a great base of talent in the organization. JobStreet in Malaysia had been around for many, many years and was a very proud company serving Malaysia and Malaysians for many years. Secondly, we're one of the largest pure tech employers now in Kuala Lumpur. If you work in tech in KL, we are one of the best places to work, right? We've got a great culture and a great value proposition. And we find the talent, as opposed to cities like Singapore, where the competition for talent is on a very, very different level. So we're very proud of our value proposition because of our heritage. And there is a great base of talent in Kuala Lumpur for the skills that we need, and we're very proud of that. And we'll continue to invest in Malaysia and in KL for many years to come. In fact, we're likely looking for a new regional headquarters sometime over the next year or so, somewhere in KL.
All right, that's great to hear, because I think some of the conversation that we've had in the past couple of years for Malaysia, looking at competitiveness, other markets, which you have mentioned earlier, have become more attractive for foreign investments due to the increased cost of hire in Malaysia and also a decreasing talent pool. You talk about tech shortage. So talk to us about Malaysia as an investment destination, and has it lost a bit of its luster over the past couple of years?
Look, that's, I think time will tell. And I think, to be blunt and honest, Cynthia, jury's out on a number of different countries in Southeast Asia during COVID times. There's been a lot of disruption, a lot of change, a lot of dramatic things happening politically, quite uncertain times in many ways, not just for Malaysia, but you see new laws being passed in Indonesia that raise investor questions. Thailand is always questionable. The longer term trends in Hong Kong with respect to mainland China are always risks that people talk about. So I would say in the region, Malaysia is not alone in having risks for corporates. I would cite Singapore has done a pretty good job at raising its game through the region. And so therefore, the challenge to Malaysia and indeed other countries is to raise their game in skills, in governance, in stability, and that ability to attract foreign investment capital. And the foreign capital does look positively towards Southeast Asia. There's very few regions globally as attractive as Southeast Asia. So if Malaysia can play and cover some of its risks, I think it's got a bright future.
As someone who's looking across different markets leading such a huge company, how do you view some of the challenges for 2023? Talks about a recession happening.
But unfortunately, although we're coming out of the pandemic, these are uncertain times in this year or two. right? So this next 12 to 18 months, highly uncertain, because there are definite tailwinds, which are good, but there are also headwinds, which provide uncertainty. So the headwinds, in addition to the tech layoffs, you know, global interest rates and inflation are having an impact across the region. And that is very true in Malaysia. And you see that in inflation. Yeah. So that's a definite headwind. And the global economy, with respect to what it will happen in Europe and North America, and what does that mean for the region in terms of exports or in terms of services provided to those companies, has yet to be seen. Obviously, the energy sector is very volatile at the moment with the war in Ukraine, which is heavy in Malaysia. So very uncertain times with some headwinds. Equally, longer term, there's some great tailwinds, right? I mentioned supply chains moving out of China, that Malaysia is a logical place to consider. Southeast Asia in general is an investment, fast-growing region. And if it, as long as the countries that do remain stable and keep good governance will have great opportunities. And so the nimbleness required for businesses is key.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that. I do also want to talk about, you mentioned times are changing, a lot of volatility. Mm-hmm. So hiring and retaining talent has become increasingly difficult, especially retaining part. So I want to get your sense on the data that you're seeing, what job seekers want, their behaviors. How has it changed in recent times?
Yeah. So the answer is job seekers needs have been changing through the pandemic and over the longer term. The one factor we have seen increase dramatically over the last 5 years is flexibility. So if you ask a whole list, as we do every several years, we survey about 150 countries, I think it is, or 120 countries. Flexibility is one of the fastest growing or more important factors in these years post-COVID. People want to have flexible lives so they can manage their homes in different ways and their houses in different ways. That could be hybrid work, could be remote work. It could be the flexibility to sometimes work in the office full-time, but then take periods of your life where you don't. It could be flexibility in terms of working for companies overseas in a remote role. So flexibility comes in a lot of different ways. And I think what we see is candidates and job seekers all around the region recognizing that there is that flexibility required in their life because the life is uncertain. Yeah. So that's the first thing. And then the second and third, you know, culture and career and skill development is highly rated in Malaysia for many job seekers. They value the work that they do. And they value an environment that'll give them skills for the future.
Right. So flexibility, culture, and skills development. I was looking through the SEEK report on hiring, compensation, and benefits outlook for 2022-2023. Now, talking about remote working, in that survey, you found that close to 3 in 5 companies, regardless of size, will have their employees fully back in the office in 2023. So talk about flexibility. You know, why do you have insights into why the resistance among companies to adopt more flexibility in your workplace? And is this a rationalization?
Yeah. So first of all, I think, Cynthia, whenever we talk about this, I always like to note there are companies and situations that do require, like if you run a hospital and you have a nursing staff, that cannot be done remotely. A manufacturing line cannot be done remotely. So there are important parts of the Malaysian economy that require face-to-face. So we got to set that aside and acknowledge that. And that is an important part of keeping Malaysia functioning. Aside from that, Cynthia, I would agree. I do think some companies are overestimating the employee's willingness to be happy coming back to work 5 days a week or 4 days a week. And quite frankly, I think some companies will find it very difficult to retain talent if they don't adapt, because not all companies are doing that. We, for example, Will not be doing that. We have moved to an all-time permanent hybrid solution where you can work 2 to 3 days a week from home, pick the days that you want. That's our choice. But each company will find its own solution. Because job seekers value flexibility, those companies who can offer flexibility but don't, we think there's a risk of them not retaining talent or attracting talent long term.
I think this problem is more severe for the smaller companies in Malaysia. We have less resources, and they're also fishing for talent in the same pool as multinational corporations, which can allow more flexibility. So what advice do you have, especially for companies that are really facing an uphill battle in hiring and retaining talent?
Yeah, this is very, very difficult. Sometimes it can be daunting when you don't have a big employment brand, even like, Job Street, Malaysia, everywhere, everybody knows. And, it's a great company with a long history. But we deal with small businesses all the time. And here's what we say, a couple of things. Firstly, you would be surprised as a small business, the flexibility and role that both compensation, benefits, and flexible policies can play. A lot of times, large corporates are really locked into bureaucratic mechanisms that they can't vary very much from candidate to candidate. So for a small business, you can listen to the candidate and what they really want, and maybe offer a package that's slightly different than something you've done in the past, but it will really be hard for a large company to match that. So compensation, benefits, and flexibility, super important. The second thing, everybody wants learning, development, and mentorship. A small business owner has vast experience. I mean, way more experience in life than a manager at a large corporate. And so that small business owner, if they commit to mentoring and providing learning to the individual, can be a huge asset in not just in a job, but in life to any employee of a small business. So that small business has assets in some ways that large corporates lack, right? So, but learning, development, and mentorship is very difficult and very highly rated. By the way, that's one of the reasons why we're investing in learning and development in the space. In Malaysia, we hope to launch one of the largest learning platforms for every Malaysian later this year, because we recognize it's very difficult to get new skills as a Malaysian. So stay tuned on that front.
That's very exciting. So in the last couple of minutes, I do want to talk about Seek Asia and what's the next growth for the company and what can we look forward to?
Yeah. So first of all, position, we are investing in Malaysia right now, and we're investing in the region. So overall in the region, we've hired 400 extra people over the last 2 years. We're up from 1,000. So we've increased our workforce by about 40% ourselves. Many of those are in KL. We're very bullish about the opportunities in Malaysia and across the region. Now, what are we investing in? We're investing in two or three different things. One, for talent in Malaysia, we're investing in technology and offerings to help Malaysians reskill and develop their careers, right? We are not built to be a social network like others for your job, so you can shout out about the press conference that you went to or whatever. But we care very deeply about the skills of every Malaysian, and we do recognize the skill gap. So we'll be investing in technology and skills platforms for every Malaysian. They'll be offered later this year.
All right.
For the higher side, go ahead.
Sorry, so you're just talking about social network that's offering all the other similar kind of talent development without naming names, but I didn't want to get your thoughts about competition. And also you mentioned technology.
Sure.
Are you utilizing, like, for instance, AI in the job search market, and how do you see customers benefiting from it?
No, well, firstly, we already use it quite a lot, but you're going to see us use it a lot more. And obviously, with trends and emergence of things like ChatGPT, which I'm sure you've done other segments on and your viewers might be well aware, things are changing very, very fast in this space. So we use a lot of AI to try and match individuals with the right job and match the right job to the right individuals as fast as we can. And we do that in as real time as we can, as soon as you apply for a role or search for a job. So we invest, we have a team of over 200 data scientists and AI people doing stuff like that. What you'll see more and more is things like AI used for career advice, mm-hmm. AI used for skill recommendation and skill development. But not everything can be AI. And to your point about the competition, and you know, we're proudly Malaysian by heritage. And you know, when you go on websites and you look for Microsoft Excel or something like that, you might get a course in Microsoft Excel, but it might be, you know, might be some, with all respect to myself, some white guy from America giving a boring lecture for 30 minutes on Microsoft Excel. Now, oftentimes, that's not what a young Malaysian wants to see. And that's not what a young Malaysian, how a young Malaysian wants to learn. And you'll see us investing in local content for local-based learning through a local lens. And that, you know, stay tuned on that, Cynthia, more and more to
all
come.
Right. Well, looking forward to that. And thank you so much, Peter, for spending some time to talk to me.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Peter. Thank you.